Hello, and welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast, the only program for horse lovers who have a fondness for horses in film, art, and literature. Each week, we will have interesting conversations with equestrian filmmakers, artists, and authors from around the world, discussing the nature and challenges, as well as the triumphs of creating their work. Ready to talk horses and film and the arts? Here's your host, Julianne Neal, along with Lisa Dearson, festival founder and director.
Welcome to the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast. I'm your host, Julianne Neal, and we're here today with the founder and director, Lisa Dearson. Hey, Lisa, how you doing?
I'm good, Julianne. Good morning. How are you? How's your weather there?
It's good. It's been 70 degrees for the past couple of days, so I've been loving it. It's a little wet, but, you know, that's to be expected.
I hate you.
I know.
We're going to have 6 inches of snow, and then we go down to below zero for just one day, but
yeah.
Well,
we were lucky, really lucky this year. And for horse people, you know, I guess that's all relative, but everybody's been able to.
Well, here's the good news. Spring is right around the corner.
Well, I see your Facebook post all the time with the horses and counting down days till spring. So I count on you to keep me up on that. So thank you.
I'm ever so hopeful that spring will finally arrive.
Gosh, me too. Me too. And with the spring comes a wonderful bunch of stuff we got going on, doesn't it? I mean, I'm more excited every day.
So. Some new fun, really fun things. And on a little side note, I'm working with somebody and it looks like we might be adding a little Santa Fe tour stop again this year. So I'll keep you posted on that as we go along.
That'd be great. We went to Santa Fe the first year we were involved in the tours. And so we love it out there. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's
beautiful
really
place.
Nice. Very nice. Well, speaking of
fun
out there.
Yep.
Well, Art of the Cowgirl just happened. And so our guest today, special guest today, is going to be Carly Cade talking about all of the experiences that happened out there. So tell us a little bit about, I had never even heard, I'm ashamed to say it, never heard of Art of the Cowgirl. What is it and how'd you get involved with them?
Well, Art of the Cowgirl is basically just a couple of years old. I think this was their second event. But I talked to them a little bit last year, and then we talked a little bit more this past year. They're a celebration of cowgirls and their horses and art and saddle making and bridle making and hat making and silversmithing. And one of our new women coming into the festival, her daughter makes side saddles, and she was there. It's just a celebration of all things cowgirls and horses. So they had it out in at the Corona Ranch and Rodeo Grounds in Phoenix, Arizona, in January, and our Carly Cady went there, and she represented the Equus Film Festival and ran our short loop, which is what we have available for our host of screenings. We have a really nice collection of short films all looped together to get our short filmmakers out there. But this short loop happened to be really cowgirl themed and Western horse themed. And it was a beautiful loop. And they gave Carly a wonderful location with a giant screen TV. And everybody came up and was talking to her about the festival and purchasing her books because she sold out of her books there.
Wow.
And it being in her hometown, she went home and got the rest of the books she had at home. And she even sold all those out.
Oh,
so, Art of the Cowgirl is an event to be keeping your eye on because it's up and coming. Next year we'll be there fully with full feature films. So it's a fun event. They have rodeo. They have a concert. So
sounds great.
We'll have Bernice's movie next year. Will be their big highlight film.
Wow, and that'll be the perfect place for that one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I look forward to speaking with Carly. So let's flip on over to that and see what she has to say. So special welcome to our guest today, Carly Cade. I have to say she's an accomplished and award-winning author. She is a podcaster, a blogger, has a fantastic website, huge member of the Equus Herd. So special welcome to Carly. We're so glad you're here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Julianne. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, I can't imagine you. You're the last person that we've come to in this introduction of the Herd, only because we kept saying at the film festival, yeah, we'll catch up tomorrow and we'll do an interview. We'll do the podcast. But then you were running so busy and I was running so busy. And it was like we just never had a chance to sit down. But then the great thing about that is that now we can catch up on everything that's happened since then. So I think that's pretty cool.
It worked out perfectly. I believe that that things happen for a reason like that.
I think so too. Well, we're going to get into all of that other stuff, but I have to ask about something that's been on my mind. How are you? Have a new member of your own herd at home. How are Tanner and Sissy getting along?
Oh, I'm so excited you asked about that. Yeah, so we recently moved into a horse property for the very first time in my life. I was able to bring Sissy home, and she's in our backyard, and my husband has been expressing interest in going trail riding with me. We live right across the street from the Phoenix Mountain Preserve. There's like thousands and thousands of acres right across the street from us to trail ride in. So I had been looking quietly for a companion horse for Sissy and something safe enough for my horse husband, and Tanner popped up one day, and I immediately had that feeling. You know that feeling when you think that it's the right horse? We went and looked at her. He fell in love with her right out of the gate, and she took really good care of him, and we had her vet checked and brought her home a week later. So she and Sissy are getting along fantastically, and it's always interesting to learn the personality of a new horse. I'm so accustomed to Sissy. She's been part of my life for 14 years now. So, she's very dainty and clean, and she keeps her stall very clean, and, she doesn't like to roll. Tanner, on the other hand, is a little bit more of a piggy, and this horse likes to lay down more than any horse I've ever seen in my life. At first, it was giving me a heart attack because I thought she was perhaps colicking or sick, but no, she just loves to lay flat out on her side and sun herself in the pasture. So it's been fun getting to know her personality quirks too.
Wow. Well, ever since I saw your website the first time and then saw, the book jackets and things like that, you always have great pictures of you and Sissy. And I just thought, this is the most elegant horse I've ever seen. And so I was really excited when you were talking about having your own horse property for the first time and doing that horse keeping of your own. I remember when I was in my 30s, I had been boarding all my life and then finally had my own place and kept my own horses. And it's really special, isn't it?
Yes. So it's been a dream of mine since I was a little cowgirl to have a horse at home, and it's finally come true. So dreams do come true. You just got to keep believing in them. And Tanner's a perfect addition. I happen to be a fan of horses of color. So Sissy is a pink. If you follow me on my social media channels, you'll know that. And Tanner is a buckskin quarter horse. So she's so pretty and long and lean and just such a great pony, really good disposition. She kind of lets Sissy be the boss. Sissy is definitely the alpha mare, the boss mare. And she lets her have her way. So it's a great little pairing.
Well, it's funny, too. I noticed on your YouTube channel over the summer, I'm in South Carolina and you're in Arizona. And so I kind of don't even really have that concept of how horse keeping is in other parts of the world until I see something like you posted. And it was something about keeping her cool. And you had done this great video on Gatorade and making ice cubes for her and putting them in her stall or whatever. And I just thought, that's something to think about, the way we do things depending on our weather, depending on, climate and wherever we are. Horse keeping at home is just something that's very special. So, yeah, you do
a great
job.
That's great. And I'm originally from Michigan, from the Midwest. So moving to Arizona was a bit of a, horse keeping culture shock because, I'm accustomed to big green pastures and box stalls and a lot of land. And when I got here, I realized there's, a lot of neighborhoods that are zoned to have horses. So we have just a little over a half an acre And we have, you know, a big riding arena, and then we have stalls across the back. But the interesting thing about Arizona is all the stalls are open air, meaning they're like pipe fencing because it's so hot here. They need the airflow. So they have, you know, they're covered, but it's all pipe fencing. And when I got out here, I was like, where are the box stalls? This isn't going to work, but that's just kind of how it is. And then, I have garbage cans that I wheel out to the curb, that pick up the manure every week for me. So it's like a completely different way of living with horses. And then, as you mentioned on my YouTube channel, I have that video, how to make horse popsicles. So in the summer, when it gets to be like 110 degrees, I make horse popsicles for the ponies from Gatorade and carrots and apples. I slice them up and put them inside. And then I take them out to, you know, give them a little extra electrolyte. So I learned that little trick out here too.
I love it. I mean, that's really cool. And, you know, speaking your YouTube channel, you have the YouTube channel, you have a wonderful website, Carly Cade Creative. You have a blog, a podcast, all of your media and your marketing and everything is so polished. And so I'm sure that must come from, you have a corporate marketing background. What, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, of course. So I really truly believe that the universe kind of provides you with what you need in order to step into creating your dream life. And so I was very fortunate, and I didn't know at the time when I was in my corporate life that it was setting me up to be able to brand and market and promote myself as an author of books. So I originally, I'll keep this long story short, but I originally, out of college, was a artist development representative for Universal Music and also Sony Music. And I lived in New York City for the first part of my career in my young life. And there I learned product positioning, sale pricing, cover design, marketing events, working with all these rock stars, essentially. So that, you know, so that really opened the door into the marketing world for me. And, you know, music came, you know, mimics like the book world. You know, you need to have a good cover, you need to get your pricing right, and know all those things. So that set me up for success. And then I started working at a startup as a director of public relations for an electric vehicle company. When my husband and I moved to Houston, I reinvented myself, started my career again. So in that role, I learned what it was like to work for a small, fast-paced business and take a lot of responsibility on my own to help the company move forward. And I was in a public relations role. So I learned the art of the press release. That's when I really started embracing brand building with social media and all of that aspect of the marketing side. And then, you know, within the same company, I moved on to the parent company and I worked in the human resources department and I was manager of strategic talent where I worked with employer brand on how to best attract and then retain employees inside of a company. Mm. So then I only brought in my marketing skills because in that role I was doing a lot of content creation, blog posts, videos for employees about around events or just Q&As with different executives. So every single corporate role I had prepared me for my life as an author and gave me the tools I needed to brand myself. Wow. And I think I've done that fairly well.
Yeah. I mean, even like I look at the logos and things, and I'm sure you came up with those, but with the girl and the horse facing each other and it becomes a heart. So, I mean, it's the colors that you use and all of that. It's just phenomenal. And like I said, polished. Oh. So I just love what you've come up with.
Well, thank you so much. I very much like my logo. I actually worked with a designer and I created a creative brief when I reached out to the designer and I said, this must be a logo that a woman who loves horses would immediately be attracted to. And so we went through a couple different renditions of what the logo could look like. And then when I saw the one that he had created with the woman and the heart facing each other inside of the name Carly Cade Creative, I just immediately knew that was the one.
Yes.
So thank you. And again, I wanted it to resonate with women who are equestrians and even if they're not equestrians, who just love horses.
Right. Well, I think, like you said, all of your experiences have brought you to the point where
it's all helping you as an author, but it's also probably helped you with the creation of your characters and the trilogy. I guess we'll talk about the trilogy and a possibility of book four, but it's like you have this mix of your horse show training and the horse training itself, actually, and then your horse show experience, and then the romance side of it. So that let's talk a little bit about your characters and about the book series In the Reins. So you started out with the first one. Did you know in the beginning what was going to happen all the way at the end of book three, or did you kind of take each book a little at a time? Can you tell us about In the Reins first?
Yeah, it's that's a really interesting question. So, and I wanted to share, it's kind of funny how my life has come full circle. Like, as a very young girl, it was always horses, it was always drawing, and it was always writing. I always liked writing as a little girl. And it's so funny, I had all those corporate experiences, which led me exactly full circle back to what was always there for me from the very beginning. So, when it comes to In the Reins, I'll talk about In the Reins series. Actually, there's three books right now: In the Reins, Cowboy Away, and Chopin Promise. And Julianne, you'll be excited about this. I am more than halfway through the fourth book in the series, which kind of follows our bull riding character, J.D. McCall. So, mm-hmm. So you'll have another book coming soon.
That's
but
great.
Essentially, the trilogy is a story of mystery, suspense, and romance. Enter Handsome Horse Trainer as a woman rediscovers herself and through her roots in horse ownership. So she's been out of the horse game for a while, and she comes back to horse ownership after living away from the country for a long time. So she has a few Bridget Jones moments as she's learning her way around horses and all the things that have changed in the industry since she's been away. So the story, you asked me if I knew what was going to happen. So I never really actually intended on ever being an author or writing a book. It just, the muse showed up one day, and I always thought myself more of a poet. So I would always have a journal in my purse, and I would write down like horse training sessions, and I would write down ideas and little poems as they came to me. And then one day, the lead horse trainer character, handsome, mysterious McKenna Kelly, came to me in the form of a poem. And that poem ended up being the intro to the In the Reins book. And then a couple days later, the characters just popped in my mind. I don't know where it came from. And then a couple days later, you're not going to believe this, I wrote the entire end of that book.
Oh my gosh.
And I sat there with it and I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with this? I kind of just wrote the end of a book. So I ended up going back to the beginning with that poem. And then I just kind of wrote chapter by chapter by chapter to get to the end of the book that I had written. So I'm what they call a panther. I kind of lay by the seat of my pants. I don't structure the flow of my novels. I just kind of let the characters lead, because honestly, when I'm writing, it's the coolest experience because I don't even feel like I'm there. I feel like it's the characters doing what they want to do, using me as the way to get on the page. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
And the voice with Devin, for example, it just jumps out at me that I can feel like I know this girl. And her insecurities come out, and, you know, she's not overly, I don't know. She, you feel her making these decisions. You feel the inner struggle as she's going through the relationships that she has with horses and people. And so that totally makes sense.
And I love getting that kind of feedback. It makes me so happy to hear that you have that experience, because that's exactly how I wanted Devin to occur. You know, she is not perfect. She's like the best and worst and the most messy parts of all women, you know, as she's learning her way to find herself. Like, she has been a journey of growth through the entire series. So the Devin that you get to at the end of Chopin Promise is not the first version of Devin that you meet in the rain. Like, you follow her as she becomes more grounded, more powerful, more assured of herself. Does that make sense?
Definitely. And I mean, even, yeah. I don't want to give too much of the stories away, but, you know, even that struggle of, if you had more than one horse in your life, when the second one comes along, you're trying to be true to the first, and, you know, and I mean, it's the relationships with the horses as much as it is with the people, that you're just trying to be fair to everybody. And I just feel that development in her character as she gets near the end of the story.
Oh, I can't wait. I know you're reading Chopin Promise right now. I cannot wait to catch up with you at the Sedona tour stop here in Arizona to hear what you think. Because when everyone gets to the end of that book, they like reach out to me. And I love hearing from readers. I always respond to every reader when they reach out to me. But they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. And,
I know.
And it's like, it's exciting. I love hearing how people experience the book, because that's where I write from. I love those kind of books that you can devour and like not want to put down. Like, I wanted to write that kind of book because, you know, the authors I love so much gave me that gift.
Right.
And you're right, I wanted the horses to be as important to the story as the leading, you know, female and male character.
Cowboy. Yeah. Well, and I love that at the end you even give a little preview of JD's story in book four, and that makes everybody think, ah, yay, I thought it was going to be over, and at least I have something new to look forward to, so it's going to be good.
I know, it makes me sad when books like that are over, so I want to keep this going as long as the characters are still speaking to me. I want to keep the series going, so I've got a couple other ideas, you know, for where what direction the characters can head in after JD's story. But that's sort of how it works for me. You ask, you know, do I know where the series is going? And it's always interesting because at the end of each book, after I finish writing, those little sneak peeks are like the characters saying, "Oh no, Carly, I'm not done with you yet. This is where we're going to head in the next book." And I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, then that's the sneak peek for readers for what's coming next." And then I just follow that thread, and it ends up becoming a book, and it's so cool. I love writing. It's hard.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, it's very hard. But I also love the experience once I get into it. Yeah.
Well, I have to ask, and you may not want to answer this, but so as I read through them, and especially with Cowboy away and, you know, McKinnon's going off on his own and catching up, putting his demons to rest, as you say, do you have, like, if you were ever to go ahead and do the movie deal, do you have an actor in mind that would play McKinnon?
Ooh, that is such a good question.
That's not fair to ask, is it?
Well, the ultimate dream for me absolutely would be to see these books become a series or a movie, because I am absolutely in the mindset that we need a new movie with horses in it for adults, because there's so much, you know, YA. I think the last movie that had, yeah, it was for adults that featured horses was like The Horse Whisperer with Robert Redford, and that was back in
years
the 90s,
ago.
I think. Scarlett Johansson was just a little girl. You know, and then, of course, the man from Snowy River, but now we're talking, like, 70s, 80s, you know? So it's time. I think we need one. So I do have some images in my mind, but I've been very particular about keeping the covers of my books silhouetted without images of the characters on the front, because what I want for people is the characters to live in their minds, right? Like, I want them to think of what McKinnon Kelly looks like, or J.D. McCall, or Devin. And so I didn't want to put faces of people on the front of the books, because while they're still books, the character lives with the reader. So I was intentional about that. So I don't know if I'm ready to give away who I think would be an amazing McKinnon. But I'll tell you, if it ever comes to that day, I definitely want to be sitting in on the casting sessions.
Oh, definitely. Well, and so then the thing is, would you do the screenplay yourself? Or, I mean, I can't imagine that these are your babies. And so if, let's say you get the movie deal, can you imagine somebody else taking them and doing that? Or would you, I shouldn't put words into your mouth, but would you want to be the one to write the screenplay and to continue the journey with them?
I think that would be a really fun experience. I have read up on this, and I do realize that the authors often, you know, do lose a lot of control once the film is adapted for screenplay. But I would love to take a stab at writing the screenplay and, you know, getting involved in the process of pitching for the movie or the TV series. And, you know, I'm a big researcher, so education and research is definitely on my list to do when it comes to movies and films. But right now what I'm thinking is the pitch would be more powerful the more books I have available in the series. My dream would sort of be like to make the cowboy like the next vampire, to have, you know, McKenna and Kelly be, you know, the next Edward, right? For people, right. Although there's not that mythical part of the series, but, you know, have people swoon for cowboys for a little while, or handsome horse trainers.
Absolutely.
And take it mainstream. But yeah, I'd like to stay close to it. I'd like to see it through because, you know, I do have ideas. And the other thing is I am an equestrian. So what I would really like is if these are made into film or TV is for them to be as accurate as possible when it comes to horsemanship and tack,
yes,
and the settings, you know, because as a horse lover, when you watch those movies where the things aren't right, it's kind of close to home.
Oh yeah. I mean, I hate that. You know, when you see the girl with the hunter jumper outfit on or whatever, and it's all wrong and you just, oh, you know, I'm sure it's the same thing with the Western attire. And I mean, I've seen your pictures on your website and the absolutely gorgeous outfits that you have on and all that. I would just love to see you show one day, because I'm sure as you don't do anything halfway, Carly. And so I'm sure if you're out there showing, it's going to be good. So.
When Sis and I had our show days, we were pretty good at it. We really liked it. But, you know, somebody once said something to me, you know, I grew up pretty competitive, you know, and somebody once said to me, what about just being a horse owner and enjoying that? And that made a lot of sense to me. So now, you know, rather than, I would like to get back into the show pen now that I'm here in Arizona, but, you know, now that I've kind of grown up a little bit and thought about it, you know, and Devin has some of this experience in the book too, it's the quiet grooming sessions. It's the, you know, the way you connect with your horse, and, you know, the easy trail rides and just enjoying things a little more is now what kind of brings me peace.
And that is so true. The smell, I mean, everybody always talks about the smell of the horse, and that's just, it brings you home. It really does. It really does.
Yeah. I mean, it's like meditative to me. You know, I was without a horse for a while when I was living in Manhattan. And I'll tell you, I reflect on some of the journals I kept from those days. And literally, Julianne, on every page, I will have a horse again, picture of a horse. I will have a horse again, you know, drawing of a horse, you know. So it was definitely something that I missed. Like a piece of me was gone when I was living in New York City and I was horseless.
Well, and it sounds to me like your husband is very supportive of your horse habit, because, I mean, if he's been through all of this with you all the way, and now he even has Tanner himself, he's pretty much a part of the horse team with you, right?
He is. It's like, you know, I told him the horse is part of the package. You know, when we met each other in Michigan, I had been promoted back to Michigan after I lived in New York City for the same company. And the first thing I did was get a horse again. I found Sissy. And when we met and there was this job opportunity in Texas, I said, I'm not leaving my horse again. I said, the horse comes with us. So he's like, no problem. So we took our first, I'd never taken her in a trailer further than like an hour away to a horse show. We drove 3 days across country from Michigan to Texas, stopping at horsey hotels along the way.
Wow.
To bring her with us. So she's moved with us from Michigan to Texas and now here to Arizona. And, you know, that just added to my horse knowledge, you know, traveling across the country with a horse. But he was always supportive of bringing her along, like she's part of the family. And then he knew when we got married that my dream was to one day have a horse property so I could have her at home. And he followed through. So I am a very, very, very lucky cowgirl.
Very lucky cowgirl. And that makes your spurs jingle, as you would say, right?
It does. My spurs jingle when I'm happy. That is right.
I've loved hearing you say that. With whatever comes along, it makes your spurs jingle. Well, and honestly, the first time I met you Well, no, I shouldn't say the first time I met you, but the first time I really enjoyed spending a lot of time together was a tour stop in Sedona a couple of years ago. And he was there with you that first day helping you set everything up and, you know, doing your due. But then he went to play golf, I think, or something. And so I just appreciated that support was there. But then, you know, you're okay doing your own thing and he does his. And so it's just it was ideal. It was a great, you could tell he was very happy for you. So.
Yeah, it's perfect. You know, it's like we are two individuals that pursue our own passions but are very supportive of each other every step of the way. So, and he's taking on riding. And the crazy thing about him, Julianne, is he has beautiful equitation. Like, he had never touched a horse until he met me. And then, you know, I gradually started teaching him how to ride Sissy. And it immediately, I was like, he's never ridden before? He's like, no. Excellent acquisition. Actually, I probably shouldn't give this away, but my husband makes an appearance in the book trailers that I've made for in the Rain series. So Sissy and my husband, it's nice to use them as tools and actors. So I use them when I film my book trailers. So it works out really well that he has good acquisition.
Cool. Very cool. Well, speaking of meeting him and you being in Sedona and everything, that leads us to a little talk about Equus. I have so enjoyed getting to know you through all of these tour stops. And I guess the first time you came to the Equus Film Festival was in 2015 or so with that first book. Is that right?
Yeah. No, I think it was 2015, mm-hmm. because I released In the Rains at the end of 2015. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was 2015 in New York City. That was the very first time I had attended the festival, and Adam came with me, and it was absolutely amazing. And the friendships, that's what just blows my mind. I mean, the film and the art and the literature are all top notch, and it all involves horses. But the friendships, like you were just saying, you know, I've become friends. I have relationships that from the Equus Film Festival that, you know, from people I met, that just continue on to this day. So the friendship and the community that is created around attending the tour stops and the festival itself is just phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And this year especially, you've become the head wrangler for the Literary Corral and, you know, gathering up all the other authors. What I've loved is watching all of you support each other. I mean, even with your podcast, the Equestrian Author Spotlight podcast, I've never heard of something like that where you're just taking your time to ask questions and support each other. And, you know, if somebody's an expert in something, bring that to the table and share information and everything else. So it's, you've taken it to the next level with all of that. And I mean, I'm sure everybody appreciates the support that you're given from that. That's really cool.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's my sort of where I stand. You know, I think authors, particularly equine authors, are stronger when we work together. We're not each other's competition. We actually lift each other up because, A, we love horses. B, we love writing about them. And C, our audiences are so, so shareable. Like, anybody who likes my book might like someone else's book, might like somebody else's book. But when I was a new author, I wished that there was a community of authors that I could reach out to and learn from, because there's so much to learn, you know? So that's why I created the Question Author Spotlight podcast. I wanted it to be a resource for, you know, current authors to learn marketing tips and, you know, what else other people are doing that is working, but then also for aspiring authors or just people who love horse books to learn more about their favorite authors or know that it's possible to achieve the dream of writing a book and have a resource where they can find out information along that journey. Because there, you know, when you're an author and you write your first book, you are starting a business, whether you're independently published or traditionally published. And there is a lot of legal information you need to know in order to do it right. But also, as we're talking about movies and film, you know, book is intellectual property, and you want to protect that intellectual property. So if there is an opportunity to, you know, do the audiobook, do a movie, do a TV series, take that book and make it into something else. You want to retain the rights for intellectual property, and that's something that I really want people to be aware of, and there's ways to do that correctly, there's also ways where you can sign away your rights in a legal contract and not even realize you've done it.
Well, and some of the topics that I've heard you cover with, like, Ray Rankin, and that very thing of being able to know the business. I mean, her books are children's books, but, you know, that it doesn't, the topic isn't what's important about that conversation. It's how to retain your rights in the business of being an author, and how to protect yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've covered all sorts of things with authors. And so I think your podcast doesn't only appeal to authors. You talk about romance and Hawaiian horse culture and therapeutic riding and pony rescue and, you know, all sorts of things that are for everybody. So really, bravo on that. That's one. It. Yeah. So
well,
what
thank
made
you for tuning in and mm-hmm. listening. I really appreciate you being a listener. Thank you.
Sure.
Nice to know that people are out there listening.
Definitely. Well, and what made you decide to self-publish it from the beginning? Did you ever have the thought of going out and looking for a company, or did you just always know that you would self-publish?
Well, you know, going back to my corporate background, I was very fortunate to have worked in the music industry. So I understood some of the strife that artists went through. And, you know, I associate independent publishing with, like, the indie author or the indie artist movement or indie film or, you know, any of that. It just, and I chose being independently published intentionally. I did my research. I mean, that's the most important thing, is to educate yourself. I did my research. I weighed the pros and cons of going with a traditional publisher or independently publishing myself. And I'll tell you, independent publishing has come a long way. I mean, the whole concept of independent publishing has changed, and it's put so much power back into the hands of the author. And I knew that I wanted to independently publish, A, because I have the background and the knowledge and I know how to market and promote myself. But I also wanted a say in what the cover design looked like. I wanted to retain my intellectual property, and I had, you know, done the research and understood that when you do sign with a traditional publisher, often you sign away those rights because, you know, you don't have legal counsel looking at your contract, and you lose, you know, rights to the audiobooks, or you lose rights to film, or you lose rights to internationally distribute your book. And not to mention, as an independent published author, you make more money in royalties. So I did my research, and it was an intentional decision, and I like it because I have, you know, I'm driving the boat. I have full control over, you know, everything that happens with my books and my brand.
And so I also like how you kind of consolidate everything on your website, and there's a place to buy the books, there's a place to see the podcast or listen to the podcast, there's a place to see the blog. And so you really, like I said before, it's so polished, it's obvious that you have that experience and that background in it. So it really comes through.
Thank you so much. It's nice to hear that it resonates and it's easy to understand. And that was my intention, is to be polished and professional and positive and, you know, make things easy for people, but also provide a lot of information for people who may want to do this too.
Yeah. Well, and that makes you the perfect head wrangler for all things Equus Film and Arts Fest as far as the books too. And so you're just coming off of a tour stop, and that's what I'm really excited to hear about with Art of the Cowgirl. So I was telling Lisa earlier, I had never heard of this event before. And so when she started talking about it and said that you were going to take some films and have some books and all that, I was really excited to hear how it would go. So tell us a little bit about the event and what all you did.
Yeah, so it was really fortunate because it happened in my backyard. So it's called the Art of the Cowgirl, and it's all women and creations and equestrian things that they do. And it's you know, they have master art demonstrations, they have horsemanship demonstrations, there's a trade show, there's a live art auction, there's an elite ranch horse sale at this event. There's a women's ranch rodeo. There's concerts. And basically, it's a showcase of the world's greatest horse women. So I was there with Lisa sent me a drive, and I was screening film shorts and documentaries and trailers, all kind of in the Western vein. It's a very Western event, and it was, you know, perfect for me. I was they're screening the films and talking to people about the Equus Film Festival and all the tour stops we have across the country. And then, of course, the big event at the end of the year at the Kentucky Horse Park. But I was also able to set up a book with my Equus Film Festival award-winning book. So I was there talking to people about my book. And it is in its second year. This is the second year it was here in Phoenix. And the event has grown exponentially. I was there last year with an American Horse Publications for an American Horse Publications gathering. I'm a member of that organization. And the weather was not very cooperative. It was chilly. It was their first year here. And it was well attended. But this year, it was just exploded. It was so packed. There were so many people from the public there and so many women that were interested. Like, so many people traveled from out of town. There were people from Canada. There were people from, you know, states all across the country coming to this event. And they actually had, it was so well attended that they had to find an overflow parking lot in order to have people park their cars so they could even get to the event. That's how well attended it was. And I sold out of my books. It was the best book selling event I've had ever. I sold out of all my books by the beginning of day three. And if I had had more, I would have sold them. So it was like the perfect audience for my book and the perfect audience to talk about the Equus Film Festival. And I learned a lot. And again, I made amazing friendships and contacts from people I had met there. So overall, it was a successful book festival and, you know, myself as an author of books.
Well, and I love when you have a thing like that where you're not trying to convince people, yeah, come over here. I mean, they're coming to that event and they know what it's all about, and they're there prepared to search you out. You don't have to search them out. So that's pretty exciting.
That's right. I mean, people were just so interested in me and what I was doing and so interested in the film festival. I actually have pulled together a little mini movie, if you will, a little recap video from the event that I'm going to be sharing here on my blog and on my social media channel. So if people are curious, they can gallop over to Carly Cade, K-A-D-E Creative, and check out the recap of the event. And even threw a little news clip in there because it actually made the news channels out here. So I came home at the end of the day and my husband and I are watching the news and
there
they started talking about the cowgirl. And I'm like, honey, that's where I was today. And he's like, wow. So it was really great.
That is great. Well, we'll definitely put links in the show notes too, so everybody can get to things really easily. But that's cool. You're always good at connecting with the folks who are around, though. I saw you do it in Sedona 2 years ago, and you know, people coming and buying, and you're able to just talk to people so easily. So that's really nice. And speaking of Sedona, well, we've got that
people
coming up too. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait, and it's so exciting. I mean, you work so hard, Julianne, to support the festival and do all the things that you're doing with like this podcast and just being a support to Lisa. And I really appreciate everything that you do. You're such a lovely human being.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way about you. We've met so many people, Bruce and I, along the way that we really appreciate. We've never had this kind of friendship and camaraderie and just across the board. That's what I love about the authors, the artists, the filmmakers, especially this year. It just feels like there's something different, people coming together. So it's been fun to watch the people who meet each other at an event, and then next year you come back and all of a sudden they've done a movie together or, you know, written a book together or something. So
that's pretty exciting. Yeah, I mean, and that's really the value of the festival too. It's like you're meeting and networking, connecting with people that can help you grow what you're up to, essentially. And not to mention, you and I are going to have to gallop up to that cowgirl shop again because when we get together, we do a little shopping and hit the local pet shops. And
yes, we do.
Julianne inspired me to buy a matching pair of fringe boots. We are the fringe sisters. We both have a pair of cowgirl boots with swaying fringe on them.
Great fringe.
Yeah, we'll have to wear those again up in Sedona.
Definitely. Well, you showed me how to do the Instagram thing, and so I did my first Instagram story with my little fringy cowgirl boots on. So you made my spurs jingle, and I don't even have any spurs. So that was fun.
But, yep. Boomerang, your first boomerang.
Yes, that's what it was. And that's what I love. I had no idea how to do the Instagram thing. I'm such a Facebook person, but you spent all that time showing me. And so So I don't know that I've done very, very well keeping it up, but you can go back and see that first one anyway. But yeah, we'll definitely have to go shopping.
Yes, for sure. And it makes my first jingle to help other people put their, you know, learn and put their best foot forward. So that's kind of what I'm all about.
That's right. Well, that's much appreciated on my end. And I have to say, you had a magazine with you that first time that had you were on the front cover. You and Sissy were on the front cover. And I don't know if it had just come out, Uptown Magazine. And you told me the story behind that picture. And I would love to hear it again because I could butcher it. But I really want to hear what you remember about the hot day and the magazine cover.
I love that you remember this story. So this is my little words of wisdom around remaining patient and the universe always provides. So when In the Rain first came out, and it was an Equus Film Festival literary selection, it hadn't yet won the award, I did a little PR campaign in my local community, and I was contacted by Uptown Magazine, which is a school here to Arizona, and they said, you know, they wanted to do a little, you know, insert about me, like a page about me and my books and Equus Film Festival. And I said, okay. And at the time I was working my corporate job. So I took the morning off to accommodate the photographer that they were sending out to the barn where Sissy was at the time, you know, the night before I'd given her a bath and, you know, I had done all the soap polishing touches to her. And I had a very important meeting in my corporate job the next day at noon, but they assured me that, you know, it would be a quick photo shoot. They're just taking one picture for the magazine and then I'd be out of there. So I get to the barn and I boost the seal all up and I, you know, polish her a little more, for the photo shoot. And then I go and I change into the outfit that I'm wearing on the cover of the magazine. And it's hot. It's like, I think it's July or June in Arizona. It was a very hot day. It was like over 100 degrees, and I had 50 clips in the cross ties, and I'm dressed and all ready, and I'm trying not to sweat. And the photographer hasn't shown up. And I'm like, where is this guy? He was supposed to be there, I think, at like 8:30 in the morning. And so I text him, and he said that he's running late. And I'm like, okay, but I have to be out of here, you know, by 11:30. I have a meeting I have to get to. It's the morning off of work. And so he finally gets there at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, you know, patting myself with powder because I'm glistening because it's so hot. My hair is like getting sweaty because it's just hot standing there. Sissy's getting anxious because she's angry that she's been standing in a cross ties for hours. So he finally gets there. I'm like, okay, let's get going because she's antsy, but I'm being, you know, very pleasant. You know, I'm like, rather than getting angry and grumbling about it, I'm just like, you know, work with this guy. It's okay. He doesn't know anything about horses and doesn't understand. So I'm just going to be patient. So he gets out his camera and he says, oh, I don't have the right camera card. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's got to be kidding me. What am I going to do? He says, I'll be right back. So he goes to, you know, some store in the area and he's been gone for like forever. And I'm like, who is this guy? So I send him a call in this time and I'm like, you know, I got to get going. Where are you? And he's like, oh, well, the store I went to didn't have the card. Now I'm heading over to Target over here. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm just like, okay, I just want to remind you, you know, I have to be back to work for this meeting. I have to be behind my computer. It's like, I'll be there in a minute. So anyway, I'm just pacing at this point and I'm trying to keep Sissy calm and, you know, I'm talking to her and he finally gets back and he looks at me when I, you know, and I'm like trying to keep composed and, you know, just being gracious because, you know, they are going to feature me in the magazine.
Yeah.
He says, you're not going to believe this. I just got a call from the publisher or the editor of the magazine. She has decided she wants to put you on the front cover. And I'm like, what? I'm like, no way. This is like a dream come true. And he's like, and then I'm just thinking to myself, if he hadn't been late, if he hadn't forgotten his card, mm-hmm. If he hadn't gone to all these stores, he would have already been in and out of the barn, taking one picture of me, and then gone.
Right.
And then the cover wouldn't be a possibility because they're working on deadline. So we ended up doing a full-blown photo shoot all around the farm. Got some really amazing pictures. And, you know, I was able to put some food away, and I did have to speed home, and I did, you know, have to, like, squat into my meeting and, you know, kind of make amends for being a few minutes late. But being patient, being calm, not getting all worked up, not being, you know, frustrated with him, wound up giving me the cover of my very first ever magazine.
Exactly. And it's so gorgeous. I mean, you're in this beautiful lace dress and your boots and everything. And I mean, Sissy's just looking like, this is no big deal. You know, it's a beautiful cover. Really is.
Yeah, so. It was very special, and I just feel so blessed to have had that happen. But, you know, it's like, it's just a lesson, and everything's kind of happening for a reason, so just kind of go with the flow. Right. And, you know, that's what I learned that day.
Exactly. Well, and that's what you're really good at. So I appreciate you sharing it with us today. So
thanks for asking.
What else would you like for people to know about your future plans? I know you've got a book number 4 coming out. What else do you have coming down the pike?
Well, you know, I think at this point, what is always going to be a part of my life is the creative part of me, and obviously horses. So I, you know, I do believe that eventually the in the ranch characters will have run their course and will say, okay, Carly, we're done now. And it's time for you to go work on something else. So I already have the beginnings of, you know, maybe standalone books or even another series that eventually will be coming out. So, you know, and I find that I am the happiest when I'm creating, like all the branding and the marketing and the promoting and, you know, social media, that's fun. But I'm happiest when I'm actually creating something for readers that's never existed before. So I have to be conscious about continuing to create, because I find that I feel more balanced when I'm writing and when I'm spending time with the horses. And then, you know, everything else is secondary. While I enjoy it, the most important part is putting words on the page. Yeah. So I think this will forever be a part of my life. And of course, I'll continue on with the podcast. So, and I'll continue uniting authors and working with them and helping them grow their careers and creating a, you know, community of people, because we need more horse books. And I think horse hits need a bigger spotlight on them. So that's my goal, is to continue shining a light on authors, independent authors, traditionally published authors of horse books, and you know, building our community.
That's great. Well, and I hope you do keep creating the content, but also, I mean, you do media kits and, like you said, with the podcast, interviews with other authors and showing people how to do book reviews on Amazon. I mean, you're just constantly putting stuff out there. And so whether it's the content for a book or a series or content to educate all the rest of us, we just hope you keep creating. So that CarlyCadeCreative.com is a great place for people to find all that.
Yes, absolutely. And I, you know, I'm always available. If anybody has questions or, you know, would like to learn a little bit more, I'm always here. And, you know, the books are available anywhere books are sold. You can get them on my website or Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iBooks, Kobo, and they're also available. The In the Rain series is available, paperback, ebook, and audiobook. And I think this year, I will for the first time be releasing hardcover versions of those series.
Cool. Very cool. That is so neat. Yeah, I can't wait to see that. That's going to be good. Well, and I have to ask, too, you do all this stuff with YouTube and you do all these other social media. What's your favorite platform? Do you find Instagram, Facebook? What do you find is the one that you kind of gravitate toward the most?
I really like YouTube, actually. That is my favorite place. I mean, I may have a smaller amount of followers there because I create content for YouTube and then I can use it on my other channels. But I'm really interested in exploring film more. I feel like there might be something in there for me around film, but I like to create videos. So I like to make funny videos. I like to make, you know, event recaps from the events I've been at to show people, you know, what I'm doing. The podcast is not just audio. It's also audio and video. So people who are like me, who are visual, can go and actually see the interview being conducted and the two of us talking, because I feel like you can connect with a person better when you can see them. Mm-hmm. So there's that visual aspect to the podcast as well. So I really like YouTube, and I, you know, I create books, little mini movies for my books about, you know, the book trailer. So I have a lot of, I always am gravitated towards what I have fun with. And I also believe that you have to spend time away from your phone. So I try to stay current, but I try not to spend too much time, you know, going down the rabbit hole with social media either. Mm-hmm. So I don't pressure myself to post every day. I post when I feel compelled to post because, you know, the time I'm not spending there is time I can be spending writing my books. And creating something that creates value for me and my business is like the first priority. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I mean, you also speak at events and, you know, you do guest posts on other people's blogs and Q&As and stuff like that too. So I'm sure that takes time, but is also something that's not social media totally, but, you know, ways to get the word out there. So you're in it all.
Yeah.
That's good.
No, social media is very valuable. And don't get me wrong. It's a cool great place to connect and maintain relationships and share about what you're up to. But it's, you know, I just read this book. We're going a little off on a tangent, but it's called Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. And it really talks about how social media is a business, right? And the companies behind it make money. And the longer you spend on social media, the more money they make. So they actually haven't created it to have like they use people's, the way their minds work, the psychology of humans, to create it like a kind of like a slot machine experience where you're looking for the reward of the like or the comment, and it keeps you hooked. Right.
Right.
So when I really read about that, and I talk about that a lot with Shelley Paulson, she's the one that turned me onto the book in episode 2 of the Equestrian Author Spotlight. We talk about digital minimalism and deep work. And once I opened my eyes to that, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm spending a lot of time on social media and not really creating anything. You know, so I've really dialed back and I've turned off notifications on my phone, and it keeps me from being distracted so I can do more focus work. So it's just like a balance thing. It's like anything. You know, it's good to have a presence there, but, you know, make sure you're balancing your time and spending your time that's adding value to what you're up to.
Exactly. Well, thank you for balancing your time and spending time with us today, because I've learned, as I do every time I speak with you, I've learned something and had fun at the same time. So Carly, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing everything that you do.
Oh, of course. It was my pleasure. And I'm so looking forward to seeing you again later this year. And thank you for all you do. And thank you for having me on the show. This is time well spent, if you ask me. It was my pleasure to be here and have this conversation with you.
Well, thank you very much. And we will see you in Sedona, if not before.
Woohoo! Fringe Boots.
Yay! And I'll put all the links and things in the podcast show notes, and so we'll get everybody back in touch with you and share all of that too. So thanks, and we'll see you soon. Yes.
Bye-bye.
This episode of the Equus Film and Arts Fest podcast is sponsored in part by Nature's View, The Marley Project, and JA Media Productions. To learn more about what we do, visit naturesview.us.
Please be sure to tune in next week when Julianne and I have another interesting conversation with one of our Equus Film and Arts Fest filmmakers, artists, or authors.